yawn and stretch and try to come to life. We kick off hour number three. This segment brought to you by Lloyd's Electric Service. Check them out online at LloydsElectricService.com for all their services. If you're not sure, just head on over there. Check them out. LloydsElectricService.com. Proud sponsors of Talk Sports right here on Fan Run Radio. Josh says the SEC is guaranteed to have four teams with two or fewer losses. All four could still get in the New Year's Six slash playoff regardless of what happens in Atlanta. Four SEC teams were in it last year, too. So, the unfortunate thing for us right now is we just have to wait. Like, you just don't know. I mean, things could happen with Georgia, LSU.
Well, and, I mean, the bowls can also make a decision not based on standings after a certain point, right? Like, they could say, yeah, Texas A&M has the better record. I know the SEC wants to kind of reward certain teams with better bowls, but I think at some point the bowls can say, ah, we'd rather have Tennessee because we think they're going to travel better here.
Well, and I'm not sure. There's something about the SEC. Like, yeah, the SEC works with the bowls. It's not an exact science. It's a domino effect, too. Like, if one bowl really wants a certain team, the SEC kind of agrees that's what's best for the conference, then once they slot that bowl, it can kind of domino and you know, move you around, you know, after that. So yeah. it just kind of depends. And, you know, I know Jerry Palm has Tennessee in Nashville, which
I didn't think that was possible, but okay.
That'll be fine, I guess. I'm checking ESPN, and they have Tennessee versus Minnesota in the Outback Bowl. From
that would
both
be something
of their guys that are doing this. So, you know, yeah, I think that would be ideal. I mean, I would love to play Minnesota in the Outback.
247 has Tennessee in the Gator Bowl playing Indiana.
That'd be great, too. Those games are on. Outback's on January 1st, and the Gator Bowl is on January 2nd at 7.
I'd rather play a powerhouse. I really don't care. Like, I mean, as far as, like, if you're saying, like, just give me a guaranteed win or give me a game that I think is going to be interesting against a team that has national stay power, I want the big game. I actually want to see how we look against a team that's good, because really your last four opponents, they're not good teams.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get a better opponent than those either way. I think your best chance to win would be to play Indiana out of those two. We mentioned off the air Louisville as an ACC possibility. I'm with Houston. You ranked them as Indiana, best chance to win, then Louisville, then Minnesota. I would almost rather play Minnesota, though. I want to see us go up against that team.
Is Minnesota or Louisville a better kind of national game?
Minnesota.
I'm not saying this year. I'm saying all-time brand. Like, are more people going to tune in for Tennessee-Louisville over... I think more people might be interested in that game than Tennessee-Minnesota, just because Minnesota's like Johnny-come-lately.
Maybe.
Has Louisville ever won a championship?
Louisville's football team's never been good, though, but they're just because basketball's good, it might give them more of a... Especially regionally here, you know, in this area. Mm. But, I mean, I would rather play Minnesota. I think they're a better team this year. I would say those brands from a... just sheer football standpoint, without doing any, I don't know, historical checking, or kind of in the same realm. Like, neither one really moves the needle. There was a weird bowl projection where we were playing like Penn State the other day. Like, that would have been something. But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. So, you know, the ESPN ones have, you know, they're predicting LSU and Ohio State to meet in the final, LSU Clemson in one semi versus Ohio State and either Oklahoma or Utah, which I think is what most people think is that's how that's going to go down, you know, going to go down there. And then, you know, and then it gets weird in a hurry. Like the Citrus Bowl, these guys both think that's going to be Auburn versus Wisconsin. And then in this case, like, they don't have an SEC team in, like, the Belk Bowl at all. But Jerry Baum has Mississippi State in the Belk Bowl, but which is, I assume, that's underneath the – like, how does the Belk Bowl rate with the Music City Bowl? Because I don't think the SEC even says which is better. I think they're just in the same tier, the same
they
group.
Are. Yeah.
So they can just pick. So the two ESPN folks, one has Kentucky versus Virginia Tech in the Belk Bowl, and one has Louisville versus Mississippi State in the Belk Bowl.
This is the last year of the Belk Bowl.
R.I.P.
And maybe this is where in the one ESPN expert has Florida in the Cotton Bowl, which typically that's going to be a West team. The other has Alabama in the Cotton Bowl. So maybe that's where the CBS stuff differs. I don't know. Maybe they don't have an SEC team or have different SEC teams there. There's Texas A&M for the ESPN guys is in the Academy Sports Outdoors Texas Bowl. So, again, that's kind of a better regional fit, I guess, with that. And that allows Tennessee to, you know, stay in Florida and either go to the Gator or the Outback.
On SECSports.com, the bowl selection process has the Outback Bowl, Tax Slayer, Music City, Texas, Belk, and then Liberty in that order.
Okay. So this is the order, priority for SEC bowls after you get past the sugar, playoff yeah. and the sugar.
Yeah.
So read through those one more time kind of slowly.
Outback, Tax Slayer, Music City, Texas, Belk, and Liberty.
Really don't want to go to the Liberty Bowl. Just saying. Go ahead and throw that out there.
ESPN has Mississippi State in one projection for the Gator Bowl and Kentucky in another. So it seems like, I mean, Tennessee, I can't remember Tennessee ever getting like screwed over by bowls because the fan base travels so well. It's such a great get.
Yeah, I mean, even the year we duffed the whole thing, we got the Music City Bowl, which felt like an okay bowl given the dud that we laid.
Yeah.
You know, you got Nebraska, like a pretty historic matchup there, and obviously you won it. It doesn't seem like this is a team that the SEC would want to send to Memphis. Maybe Charlotte, but it seems like, yeah, let's go ahead and send them to Tampa or Jacksonville, get some traveling dollars.
I can see Memphis if the opponent on the other side is Texas.
They're not, but Tennessee is better than, like, the Liberty Bowl is the last one in the list. Like,
yes.
That's not going to happen. Like, they're going to have to take one of the teams that's lower in the standings. So it's not, I mean, that's off the table. Like we won too much for Memphis.
And Texas. Suck it.
Oh, for Texas as the opponent. Yeah,
yeah.
Sorry. There's a Texas bowl that got confused.
We're too good.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. Like the cotton, it depends on what ESPN's experts are saying is the SEC will work with these bowls to make sure that like A&M or Alabama goes out to the Cotton and the Texas Bowl,
mm-hmm.
because A, that'll get more fans there. The bowls will be better taken care of that way, and the fans will like that better. Like, I mean, Texas A&M is not going to want to go to Florida when they can stay in the state of Texas, I wouldn't think.
So we're taking out LSU, Bama, Florida, and Georgia probably, because Florida, the Orange Bowl, Georgia Sugar, Alabama Cotton, LSU's in the playoff. So that leaves Auburn.
Auburn and the Citrus.
Right. And then it looks like the Outback's going to have their pick of the rest, which you would take Tennessee.
That's what
certainly feels
that's
like.
That's what two ESPN experts think. I mean, that, yeah. But again, it's not cut and dry. It's not even as good as like basketball selection committee where there's even criteria. There is no criteria.
Right.
It's just like whatever deals they work out. I mean, that's, yeah.
Certainly seems like Tennessee would be the one of the first two teams taken in that scenario, though. So Outback or Tax Slayer, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now the question, I agree with that. I think it'll be one of those two. The question is, who does Outback want? And I had heard, I know the Gator Bowl is really interested in Tennessee now that they beat Vanderbilt. I had heard that about the Outback Bowl 2 weeks ago.
That's what, who was... Yeah, the fact that was Josh, I think it was Josh's point, was that Alabama and Florida are going to get the orange and cotton one way or the other. And that's what the ESPN guys, they have mm-hmm. one in the orange mm-hmm. and one in the cotton. Which is those, which are not playoff positions, obviously, but still New Year's Sixes, which allows Tennessee to then bump all the way up to the Outback. And Auburn goes to the Citrus, and the rest trickles on down. That'd be awesome. I'd take the Outback versus Minnesota right now. If it's a different opponent, okay, that's fine, too. It's a New Year's Day Bowl.
Who are the other Big Ten options for the Outback Bowl and the Tax Slayer Bowl, for that matter? Like, if it's the Outback Bowl, it's probably
247.
Michigan or Minnesota?
Well, 247 has Penn State slotted in the Outback
Bowl. So it's those three. And then the Gator Bowl becomes then, I guess, maybe one of those would drop to that, or likely possibly Indiana.
Iowa would be another option.
Indiana,
Iowa. Indiana, yeah.
And then maybe Minnesota also?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Penn State. Is that where Louisville, if it gets weird with an ACC flip there or something?
And that would be to the Belk Bowl, correct? Louisville? Or is it possible that Louisville could get into one of the Florida Bowls?
Music City.
Okay.
Mm, yeah.
This is what Palm has.
An ACC to the Music City?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the
ACC. That's where they are.
That's where you play North Carolina, right?
Yep. And also Nebraska, which is why I was getting confused. Because that's just where the Bowls may switch their affiliate. As far as conference,
some of them are ACC / Big Ten.
Right, yeah. Okay.
I'd take Penn State right now. Penn State.
When is
awesome.
That? Next Sunday, we'll know that once championship Saturday's
I think
over
so.
With?
Okay. Yeah.
Probably late Saturday nights when you're going to see the leaks start to come out.
Just got to wait. Just got to wait a week. See what happens.
I always thought they did like a Selection Sunday thing. Because some of those championship games run late.
They do. But when's it's not for necessarily all the bowls. Like, they'll do that for the New Year's Six Bowls and the college football playoff.
That's Sunday. Isn't that like Sunday at 1-ish?
I want to say it's 12:30 because I thought they tried to go before the NFL slate started.
Maybe that was it. Yeah, it's something like that. It is. I remember being in line for a dinner right after church one day, checking on my phone constantly to see. It was the year the Big 12 got no teams in. Before they had the championship game.
Pity.
So, yeah, so right around midday, around noon on Sunday is when they reveal the playoff teams, and that's when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
You will get, like, sources or whatever, some stuff even Saturday night and definitely Sunday morning heading into it.
But officially, it won't be announced and slotted until after they do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if Georgia were to win, obviously – over LSU, that'd throw a big monkey wrench in.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll bounce around the other big games in college football, how that could shake out with the playoffs and the other just other stuff from a wild rivalry weekend of college football. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. We'll run down the big games from the weekend in top 25 action. How about Scott Frost making the comeback, falling short?
Mm.
You know who's not in the bowl projections? Nebraska, 5-7. Didn't get there. Not qualified
eligibility. Honestly, wouldn't have guessed it.
They're in the top 25 to start the season. And now not even going to a bowl, I mean, with that schedule, like, kind of, I mean, they finish up 3-6 in the Big Ten. No, it's not in conference games, but come on. Memphis beat Cincinnati, Boise State won, Virginia Tech, who looked like they were kind of back. The defense didn't show up as they went on the road and lost to Virginia. So now you'll have Virginia playing Clemson in the ACC championship game as we kind of talk about
Bronco
the
Mendenhall.
Clemson wins and they're
maybe
in.
A chance.
What is up with Dabo Sweeney playing the no respect?
I don't know.
Like, he is.
It doesn't make any sense.
I find these coaches get in their little office during the season and just like completely lose touch with the outside world. Like, everybody thinks Clemson is one of the four best teams, right? They haven't really had a chance to prove it, but I still think, I mean, we saw.
There's no way they're getting left out if they're undefeated. That's what I don't understand.
Like, why is he worried about their seed? Like, what the? What the hell? Is he worried they're going to be a 3 seed and have to wear like maybe their white jersey instead of orange? Like, what does it matter?
I wouldn't think so, but perhaps. But based on who you played and who you beat, I mean, I don't think if Ohio State and LSU win, they're going to be 1 and 2. So sorry, you're going to be 3.
Yeah, like I don't understand why it even really matters. Like all those teams,
unless he's wanting, I don't know. Maybe he's
does he think he should be number 1, so he gets the 4 seed?
I mean, I see what he's saying. I guess
we're the champs. We haven't lost.
In his mind, he's like, we are the defending national champ. We are currently undefeated. Why are we not number 1?
Because you only beat North Carolina by 3.
Well, that's the thing. It's a this season only. Like you're not going to get rewarded necessarily for what you did last year, except for the fact that you haven't played anyone and you're still in the top 4.
I mean, shoot, if it was Wake Forest who had done what Clemson had done this year, people would maybe not even – they'd be at 4 and maybe about to get bumped for, like – it'd be like, well, if this – you know, I don't know. I mean, Clemson looks the part. They went into Columbia in a rivalry game and just blasted South Carolina, something Georgia couldn't do a few weeks ago.
True.
I mean, it's – Clemson seems to be playing well. Like they beat Virginia, they're in. It's only going to get weird if we have a shocking kind of like it's only the 4 spot. There's going to be drama per usual.
Is he arguing for a pass if they were to lose to Virginia?
I have no idea.
That's the only thing it feels like he could be complaining about. Like, oh, yeah. they want to keep us out. It's like, okay, we'll just beat Virginia. Don't worry about it.
Being second or third doesn't even matter.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same game again. The only thing that changes is your uniform color.
Team rankings, their numbers are usually pretty good. They have Clemson as the 35th strongest strength of schedule. Tennessee comes in at 36.
That seems odd.
Well, if you're the 3 seed against LSU, you'll wear your home uniforms anyways. So it's
true.
Like that. It's like
true.
Having the 2 seed.
I don't know. Anyway, Virginia Clemson for the ACC championship. The big game or the game, Ohio State, Michigan, another beat. Like, when is – I mean, it's horrible. It's kind of like Fisher for A&M. Like, Michigan's kind of all in with them. But, man, Ryan Day just put another whooping on them. How about 14 points in every quarter for Ohio State, evenly spaced?
Who's their running back? He was phenomenal.
J.K. Dobbins, 31 carries, 211 yards, 4 touchdowns. Somebody said, you know, theoretically, the Heisman Trophy presentation could be Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, J.K. Dobbins, and Chase Young.
Yeah.
And Ryan Day would be like, hey, you want to win a Heisman, just come to Ohio State. You'll do
it. They wouldn't win it.
Might not be
over
here,
Burrow, but yeah.
But Burrow went there. It was like a recruit. They were saying
that would be the best recruiting pitch
of all time. Hey, all these guys, at some point, were at Ohio State.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good pitch.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So Ohio State kind of staking their claim to you know be the 1 seed again. I don't know that it even matters that much. Like maybe it does. Maybe being number 1 this year is going to be a big deal because the 4 team is going to be significantly weaker than the other 3.
Well, I like it because I think the committee set it up to where if Georgia were to beat LSU, that makes it to where you're going to have like the LSU and the Georgia at 3 and 4.
Yeah, but I mean, they could do that. They don't really have to set that up. They can just do that at the end.
They can, but I'm never not going to believe they're not trying to get the biggest storylines talked about
the best
by how they make their rankings before they actually put the finals out.
Well, speaking of LSU, they scored 21 first quarter points and blew out A&M 50-7.
Yeah, I remember it differently.
Clemson went into South Carolina, was up 24-3 at halftime, tacked on 2 second-half touchdowns, 1 going away, 38-3. Georgia, who's in the 4 spot at the moment, beat Georgia Tech 52-7 in a blowout. Did you see their receiver snap and start punching the Georgia Tech guy? He got ejected.
It was Pickens.
It was Pickens.
The freshman All-American. Well, I don't know if he's a freshman All-American. He's their best player. Yeah, lost his damn mind, and now he's going to be out for the LSU game.
First half.
Just the first half?
Yeah.
For throwing all those punches?
Yeah, just first half. But well, Lawrence Cager's still out with injury.
Well, he got ejected from the game in the second half, so he's missing the first half like automatically. I guess they could pile on it more if they wanted to, but
seems like that was
rule.
A little more than, oh, a targeting, darn. That
right.
Felt like,
that kind of points out the hypocrisy of the whole targeting thing.
I thought it was kind of cool. They just grabbed his face mask and tried to slam him into the wall. I mean, it's not safe. Like, don't get me wrong. Like,
you're sitting
it's
here
not
saying, no, I don't know what's going to happen with Juwana, and you're, this is cool?
Why? You should still be suspended. I'm not going to.
Who?
Pickens.
Okay.
I'm not saying, like, it's not, but, like, I just, like, I've never seen somebody just try to grab somebody by the face mask and then slam their head into a wall.
Yeah, he lost it.
Yeah, that was a moment. I mean, in a game that, you know, I mean, it was Georgia Tech's awful. They finished the year 3-9. If you want to see the best brawl of the weekend, though, that was in the UNLV Nevada game. So just Google that video. I mean, that after a touchdown pass.
I don't think I've seen that one.
You
after
Google
a touchdown
it.
Pass.
It's worth a Google.
I'm not sure if it was to win the game or what, but the team that scored, their quarterback got punched in the back of the head after he had already celebrated in the end zone, was starting to run off. Like, just got sucker punched in the back of the head. Well, that led to his offensive guys taking up for him and a massive brawl in to the corner of the end zone. And at one point, I'm pretty sure a fan reached down and yanked a helmet off of a player from the visiting team.
Part of the game.
Yeah, so that was fun. But anyway, Georgia won easily. They'll take on LSU, of course, in the SEC championship game. Winner is in. LSU probably still in, even with a loss. Obviously, Georgia has got to win to be in. Auburn beat Alabama 48-45. We talked about that wild game. It's the first time since like 2008 that neither team will be a factor in the playoffs, you know, in the playoff picture or something like that going in the last weekend of championship week. Utah looked really good. I know people probably didn't stay up and watch that one, but they blasted Colorado 45-15. You might say, well, that's Colorado, whatever. Well, Colorado beat Washington the week before and was playing better under Mel Tucker. Utah seems to be playing pretty well at the right time. I don't know how they stack up with the top three teams, but they're trying to make a strong case for the four spot. They'll play Oregon in the Pac-12 championship with a chance to try and stave off Oklahoma, who beat Oklahoma State convincingly 34-16. Oklahoma has to play Baylor again and try and you know, beat them again. That was the comeback victory they had early in the season. Oklahoma's loss was to Kansas State. Utah's loss is to Southern Cal. And I don't really know how, if both those teams win, let's say in the same level, however you categorize that in your head, I don't know how you separate those teams. That's going to suck. That's just going to, I mean, one of those teams going
to not my job.
Out. Yeah. That's going to be brutal. Because Oklahoma's going to have a stronger schedule, I think, by the analytics and all that stuff and quality wins. Utah's going to have a more, have been more consistent, I guess, if that makes sense, on the season. So it's going to be a pretty, pretty tough.
Feels like if they both
there.
Win, but Oklahoma blasts Baylor.
Yeah.
Oklahoma's probably in.
Yeah.
And the Pac-12 gets left out
style
again.
Style points gonna matter.
Style points, fan base size, football passion of the respective conference. Yeah, I'd probably give the nod to Oklahoma.
Well, and I think I said this on the show, but I'll just say it again if so. Oklahoma this year, from an efficiency standpoint on offense and defense, has been better than either the Baker Mayfield team or the Kyler Murray team. Problem is, the last few games, their turnover differential has been awful, and turnovers really cost them their one loss.
Yeah.
So do you – I mean, turnovers are kind of – outside of just obviously moving the football, it's the most important stat. So do you say, well, our turnover is kind of a lucky thing, so we kind of don't count that as much against Oklahoma? Or is it like, man, you guys can't take care of the football, and you ding them more for that, and you say Utah plays better football? I don't know how – I mean –
I'd probably say, what's the line between these two teams on a neutral field? Then I'd take who is ever favored.
It's probably going to be Oklahoma, I would think.
I would think so, too.
But I don't know. Like, Oregon is – I feel like Oregon's a pretty good team. That'd be a quality win for Utah. I think Baylor's a pretty good team, too. And we'll see if one of those slips up. Baylor beat Kansas 61-6. So that one wasn't even close. Florida crushed Florida State. And everybody else in the top 25 pretty much took care of business, except, I don't know, like Iowa State lost. Doesn't matter. They're going bowling anyway. So that's kind of how it all shakes out for playoff position. Oh, I missed Wisconsin blasted Minnesota. So it's Wisconsin trying to get revenge on Ohio State. But I think even if Ohio State loses, like, they'll be in anyway. Not going to matter. Wisconsin's going to be a good enough team, I think, where – unless something really – like, I can't imagine Ohio State losing so badly to Wisconsin and Oklahoma winning so much that you're like, yeah, Ohio State's all the way out.
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They're going to blast Wisconsin. Speed kills. Didn't they already play once?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They
killed them, right?
Yeah. Crushed them. Yep. We'll come back with more. Davey Hudson, our sole loser of SEC Survivor this weekend, he gets to draw his punishment next, and we'll get into some Tennessee basketball as a big Emerald Coast Classic.
An up and down classic. Up and down classic.
Yeah.
Down than up, though.
Finished on upswing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's good. It's that time of the week. SEC punishment draw time for SEC Survivor. Billy Williford drew the Tennessee Volunteers. First time they were drawn all season.
Great. I drew them on a bye week, and Davey Hudson drew them the week before.
Yeah, so Tennessee's 2-0 this year.
Hey, that's right. What am I thinking?
I have no idea.
I guess I was a week off. Davey drew them and changed fortunes. But then this week he got Texas A&M twice somehow.
Mm.
Billy had Tennessee. I have Missouri. It was looking a little dicey when Kelly Bryant scratched, and then they were down to Arkansas. But they came through. Houston drew Mississippi State. Two helmets fell out on the play. Wasn't really his fault, but it also wasn't my fault. So the drawing stood. Calling the field stands.
Your fault.
Wasn't my fault.
Okay. I mean, everyone agrees that you had the box very wimpily held. But if you don't want to take responsibility, that's okay.
I mean, our fan-run referee that weighed in said Vol Rumermill knocked at least one helmet out. It was actually two on replay review. You better be
I think they just fell out. But
you better be thankful because your second draw was Ole Miss. And if you had drawn Ole Miss originally with like a clean draw and lost on that,
I would have probably appealed.
That would have trumped your LSU Mississippi State LSU Texas A&M last year, where the game was over like three times,
yeah.
But not really.
Is this your 10th loss?
I thought it was his 11th.
I want to say
we have 14 weeks. I thought he won three.
Yeah, this is 11.
3-11. Are we doing bowl games?
I'd rather not.
Is this
it? Yeah, we can do bowl games. Just one draw for your bowl game.
I guess you got to take out the teams that didn't make it.
Take out the teams that didn't make it. If you draw a playoff team, first game's all that matters, obviously. Right? You know, the semi. Do they win or lose their semi?
Man, LSU. 10 losses.
That's something.
Wow. It's incredible. It's remarkable.
The bowl games will kind of suck because, like,
if you'd have put $100 money line on all of Davey's games, like, how was it just horrible draws, or would we've actually made some money?
Wait,
are you saying,
like, did he just continuously draw
bad teams
yeah. That were?
I don't think he'd have made much.
Okay,
no,
just curious.
Early in the year, it was just surprising beats.
South Carolina's a pretty heavy favorite.
Week one. They blew a double-digit lead.
Like, my loss, like, I had Georgia 1 week, and they lost to South Carolina.
Oh, you made a ton of money on that.
Been rich.
Yeah, who'd you have against Kansas State?
Mississippi State.
They were a favorite in that game, I'm
were
pretty
they?
Sure.
It was within a touchdown one
right.
or the other.
Week two, I had A&M against Clemson. So week one, South Carolina against UNC. A&M against Clemson week two. Week three, Mississippi State. They lost to Kansas State. Week four, I had Kentucky. They lost to Mississippi State. Week five, had Alabama. I was safe on that one. Week six, I was given Tennessee as they played Georgia. I had SEC number two on that one.
Mm-hmm.
The next week, SEC number four, automatic death. The week after that, South Carolina. They lost to Florida. Then Texas A&M won a game. Shouts out. Even though they didn't come through this time. Then Arkansas. They lost to Mississippi State.
You wouldn't have made much.
Then week 11, automatic death again.
I mean, you don't get paid on those.
Week 12, South Carolina, they lost to A&M. Week 13, had the Vols.
Shouts out.
GBO.
Yeah, you want
and
a little
then,
on that money
last
line.
Week, the
Dogs.
A&M twice.
Yeah.
And they lost to LSU. Twice.
He's been very unlucky with A&M and Mississippi State.
And Arkansas on automatic death.
Same thing. Same thing.
Yikes. All right, cue the music. It's time. There's only a few punishments left.
Yeah, no. I don't even have the list. I mean, I know what one of the helmets is.
Do you have the list, Billy?
I just know he wants the Falcons, right?
Falcons.
Wants the Falcons.
Oh, you can eat chicken wings.
We got Bengals, Bucks, Chiefs, Falcons, Giants, Patriots, Raiders, Texans, and Saints.
I want to take this time
these aren't bad, actually.
To talk about my Tennessee Titans going on the road to Indianapolis. You can get over here, Billy. I can draw while I'm talking about it. Lower it a little bit. Come on, help me out.
Not too low.
They go
though.
On the road. They get their first win in Indianapolis.
What are you doing? This looks like you're delivering a baby.
First time in 11 years.
Davey has drawn his helmet as he's talked about.
The Raiders.
That's already been drawn.
No. Eat two packets of wasabi paste every hour.
Wasabi! Little Tokyo.
Yeah, spicy show on Wednesday.
That will be... That's a lot.
Could be worse.
Could it?
You get a punishment redraw that's not the veto?
No.
Nope. Wasabi.
Falcons are still out.
Where did
there.
I go recently that had like the hottest wasabi? It was like hard to eat. Oh, yeah. I think I remember. I got it.
You're going to pick that up. Yeah, you got me covered on.
It was like,
covered on
I was like, oh, this tastes pretty good.
But Ryan Tannehill, he showed out. Even though they did have some early fumbles, it didn't matter because the special teams came through.
It's so bad, it's kind of good.
Blocked two field goals. That's with Adam Vinatieri. Guess did he? Well, he missed two from 50. One got tipped. But then the one that mattered, it's 17-17. Fourth quarter. Big Dane Cruikshank fan. He's helped him out on special teams a lot. If you remember, he's the one who caught the pass from Kevin Byard against the Texans last year and returned it for a touchdown.
Yep.
And this year, he just goes through that Colts line, just basically like, I think the ball might have hit him straight in the chest, mm-hmm. and it bounces right to Ty Smith. Ty Smith runs it all the way back. The Titans go up 7, and they don't look back.
31-17 was the final. Davies, Tennessee Titans. I mean,
Derrick Henry.
Pushing
pretty good.
Pushing for the division. Still got the Texans on the schedule twice.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping the Pats would lose or win last night.
Yeah, no, the one time you want the Pats to win, they can't do it. It's crazy.
But they sucked big
time. Are the Titans going to pay for Ryan Tannehill?
I feel like you got to try to give him at least a 3-year deal. There's no way he gets away this year. Like, if worse comes to worse, you just franchise tag him and you pay him.
I mean, I just pay him on kind of a shortish. I'd pay him on a kind of another prove it deal. Like, got to spend that money on something anyway. Like.
Don't look now, but the Titans, 5 out of their last 6.
Mm-hmm. They're right there. Right there.
And creative. They're scoring some points.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to see. Yeah, but Derrick Henry, 26 carries, 149 and a touchdown. Tannehill, very, very precise. 17-22, 182, 2 touchdowns.
Like,
who would have guessed?
Titans
Tannehill.
Are first out, right? First out in the playoffs right now in the AFC.
Yeah, they're seventh.
7-5, tied with the Steelers.
The Steelers, like, I don't know how they keep winning. Like, I got to give Mike Tomlin
Doug Hodges thumbs
up.
It's,
like, he's,
it's old Hodges out there.
He's doing a great job with a roster that's just not that good.
It's falling apart, and he still keeps figuring it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been right there to kind of blame Tomlin for some things, but this year he's –
They
figured it out.
They do have to play the Bills and the Ravens again.
Mm.
But right now, if you're the Titans, I think if you can win 4 of the next 5, you'll probably make the playoffs.
The Steelers hold the tiebreaker because of wins and conference percentage as well. So Steelers are 6-3 in conference. Titans are 5-4. So you really need the Ravens.
Titans play the Raiders this week, which
that's gonna be Raiders. The Raiders are 6-6. They're actually still in it,
but they have stunk
and they've been off
for the last little bit.
The Titans opened as a favorite, but people started betting the Raiders like crazy right out of the gate, which I thought was kind of weird.
I think it's the next to last game at the Black Hole.
Titans favored by 3 in that one.
So you got to go west. That game's at 4:25. But if you win that, you're bringing the Texans to Nissan Stadium. Hopefully you can get a leg
They've
up there.
They've been very up and down
and then
lately,
just,
too.
Yeah.
And if you can do that and then win one of the next two, then you're looking good.
In the NFC.
Saints and Texans again.
The East is a mess. Of course, the Eagles had a chance to tie it back up with the Cowboys. Lost to the Dolphins. That eliminated Houston from NFL Eliminator. Davey, who did you have?
Carolina.
The Panthers also lost
to Washington.
And Billy Williford, win number two on the season for NFL Eliminator.
I had the first pick, too. I left you guys playing the Dolphins and the Redskins. I knew upsets were coming.
Okay.
Who'd you pick? Shut up.
The Packers.
Who'd they play?
Giants. The Giants.
In a snow game. It was fantastic.
Yeah. So the NFC East is now the Cowboys, who lost to the Bills pretty, wasn't even that close, on Thanksgiving. They're now 6-6, leading the division. Philadelphia in second at 5-7. NFC North, Packers and Vikings. Both only have three losses. Packers with 9 wins. Vikings play tonight against the Seahawks in what should be a really fun Monday night matchup. And the Saints clinched a something. I don't know.
They clinched their division.
They're 10-2.
I think the next closest in that division is 5.
5-7. Bucks and Panthers both with that record.
Trash.
Billy's 49ers 10-2. Lost by a field goal to the Ravens. And the Seahawks are 9-2. They'll try and keep pace when they play the Vikings tonight in the NFC.
Do you think the NFC East will have a team better than 500?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the schedule. It's probably going to be 8-8, my guess right now. I don't know. Those teams are not good. And the Cowboys have major issues, especially at home on Thanksgiving. Like, everything's right there. They even got off to a good start. And then just all came crashing down. Final segment of the program. Right back at you next. We got to talk some Tennessee hoops. We'll wrap it up with that.
Damn
next.
Eagles.
The final segment is brought to you by MyBookie, proud sponsors of Monday Night Football right here on 3 and Out. Tonight, it's Seahawks, it's Vikings, the line's been around, a field goal for the Hawks, and tonight only, it's a Cyber Monday. Buy one, get one free with MyBookie. You can bet up to $100, and whatever you bet tonight, you'll get in free play money to bet next Monday Night Football as well. So if you bet $100 in tonight's game, win or lose, doesn't matter. You'll get $100 to bet next Monday, and it's a one-time rollover on that free money. So if you win, you'll have to just play one more time with it. But check it all out at mybookie.com. They've got, obviously, the NFL lines all the way through the season. Bowl game stuff will be happening pretty quick for college football. The championship game weekend lines will be out, and we'll hit those throughout the week. And, as always, you can bet college basketball. Tennessee, when they took on Florida State, it was a really tight line in that one. Same thing for VCU. I don't know. Like, how do we rate the Emerald Coast Classic? Like, big picture, like, I feel okay about it. Tennessee played really poorly for stretches of the Florida State game, but Lamonte Turner hits your game-winning buzzer beater to cap Tennessee's time there, gets you a top 25 win, at least for the moment, over VCU, and kind of felt like the football season a little bit, really. It was like, started out playing just god-awful. You're down like double digits in the first half to Florida State. You did play a little better as that game went along. Closed it to 3 late, but it didn't really feel like it was a 3-point game. Felt like you weren't quite that close.
Shot 33% from the field, 22% from 3 against Florida State.
And then in the VCU game, you kind of salvaged the trip to the Emerald Coast Classic with what will be a neutral site quality win come tournament selection time, which is good for Tennessee basketball.
I guess hit Florida State real quick, then transition to VCU. Turner really struggled against Florida State, so him making that game winner against VCU was kind of crucial for him. Against Florida State, he had 2 assists and 8 turnovers.
We had 21 turnovers as a team against 5 assists against Florida State. Their length and athleticism proved troublesome, to say the least.
Free throws really kept you in the Florida State game. You're 24 of 29.
Hey, I've been saying it, that free throws were a problem. They seem to have fixed some of those issues because they've shot pretty well at the Emerald Coast Classic.
So with Washington, they were long and athletic, but they played the zone, and that seemed to really help Tennessee find offense. Tennessee just looked like they've been practicing, getting ready for the Syracuse-style zone all year. I mean, they were money. They knocked down shots against Florida State, a man-to-man team, that length. And Lamonte, I mean, Florida State's depth kind of wore out Tennessee. Lamonte's cramping up. He's not even in the game late because he's been worn out. And Florida State, I mean, they played one guy 34 minutes. Their second most minutes was 30. They had their third, 24. I mean, they played a ton of guys in the basketball game, and it really paid dividends for them late.
Tennessee's bench had 2 points against Florida State.
I mean, you tried to go
Gaines
to
had
it.
Two free throws.
You played nine guys, but Jalen Johnson gave you nothing in his 2 minutes. Gaines has jumped him in the rotation. He's played 15 in that game. And
they're going to Gaines a lot earlier now.
Yeah.
I was really surprised at how quickly we went to the bench against Florida State, considering how non-bench-centric we've been this season. But it looks like they're trying to get some of those guys some confidence, get them into the rotation a little earlier, play them a little bit more. I think that'll pay dividends down the road. Didn't help you against Florida State, unfortunately, but
it was just an ugly basketball game. Really, both teams didn't play very well, even in the
half. the Florida State coach at halftime, he's like, yeah, we forced, I can't remember what they forced in the first half, like 14 turnovers. And he's like, and we're up by five. I'm not exactly feeling great, but Tennessee couldn't really fix anything in the second half. Shots weren't falling. Turner was just really struggling from the field this week. Cramping obviously didn't help, but if you had told me 1-1, I probably would have taken it going into this Emerald Coast Classic.
Yeah, I mean, all three teams you're going to play obviously two out of three. We're pretty good opponents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Florida State and BCU were significantly better than Purdue.
And then Purdue only loses by three to Florida State in the championship.
That's in overtime as well.
Yeah, overtime.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee free throws is kind of like what won you the second game and kept you in the first game. You were 15 of 16 against VCU from the line.
They fixed free throws. It's good.
You asked what this means, Nate. I think anytime Tennessee plays a very athletic team that likes to pressure you the entire length of the court, they're going to struggle a little bit.
I think they'll get better. They needed to play a team like that to kind of develop the – yeah, no kidding. Needed the sense of urgency to be forced. And I think now that you've seen your team against a super athletic, super quick pressure team, you can work on that a lot in practice.
Fulkerson, your leading scorer against VCU.
And then he got creamed for it in the postgame for not being more aggressive.
He hit some big free throws to give you a chance.
Needed more beach time, he said.
He is pretty pale.
Yeah. Needs to get a tan on that kid.
Pons didn't come out against VCU.
Played 40 all 40?
Yep. 9 points, 3 of 11. Well,
he's
talk
a beast.
More Tennessee basketball, of course, this week. Lots of college football, NFL as well. Stick with us tomorrow. We'll start things at 7. The Blitz is next on Fan Run Radio.